In your Bibles tonight, Song of Solomon chapter 6, we're going back to the Shulamite. Song of Solomon chapter number 6, verse number 13. Let's stand please while I read the Word of God. Return, return, O Shulamite, return, return, that we may look upon thee. What will you see in the Shulamite? As it were, a company of two armies. But that phrase, what will you see in the Shulamite? Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you, Lord, tonight for your blessings upon us. How good it's been to be in the house of God. Lord, hear the singing, the praise, and give you glory. God, already we've heard enough preaching. Tonight, everybody in this house unsaved ought to come to know Jesus and be saved. I praise your name and thank you, Lord, for what you have done, what you're doing, what you're going to do. Tonight in this house, you know every heart, every individual. I pray, God, speak to hearts, encourage those that need encouraging, challenge those that need challenging, convict those that need convicting. I pray, Father, you'd help every one of us that we'd see ourselves like you see us. And then respond accordingly as we ought to do and do what we wish we'd have done when we stand in judgment one day. I pray tonight now, Lord, for the power of God to be upon us. I need you to touch me to preach. I need you to help us tonight. Lord, we need help. And I pray in Jesus' name you'd speak to our hearts that we may speak to the hearts of these. Then, Lord, I know tonight there's some folk that are nearing that crossing over. And I pray in Jesus' name that you make that glorious for them, as you said in thy word, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. I pray your presence be so real, power of God be so real, that, Lord, it be joy. And thank you, Lord, for the joy we've sung about tonight, testified of. We give you glory and praise and honor. Now help us look at this Shulamite again tonight. And Father, thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You may be seated. Brother Tim got to preaching a while ago, and I thought, well, let's let him preach. Amen. And it was good, and I had enough preached to get anybody under conviction already. And so I pray that God spoke to your heart if you're unsaved, and that you know, come to know Jesus tonight before you leave this building. I'm glad Jesus saves. Jesus saves. How wonderful it is that Jesus does save, and we look forward to him saving precious souls. But I'm glad he not only saves, but he helps us that are saved and takes us and keeps us close to himself. Tonight, for you that were not here this morning, I quickly review. And when I say that, sometimes I get caught up in it. But I am going to try to quickly review this morning. We talked about salvation, the Shulamite. And then we talked about her confessing her sin. And then we talked about the sin offering and how she's getting right with this shepherd that she met. And we dealt with that and talked about that and talked about sanctification, the separation that was there. But tonight, I want to look at the sincerity of this woman. And she was misused by her brothers and her family. And we talked about how the devil holds us in bondage and tries to drag us down and hold us there until we're set free. She didn't know it was Solomon. Let me say again tonight, I believe with all my heart that this book, and it's a book of songs of love, but it is also, I believe, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and the bride of Christ. I'm glad to be a part of the bride. And tonight as we look at this, we see ourselves in this. And she did not know who it was that Solomon and all of his glory. All she knew was she'd met a shepherd out there that she'd fell in love. And she desired to have him, but he had left and gone back to Jerusalem. And she didn't know where he'd gone, but probably he had to go back, take care of things back home. But he told her he'd be back. And that'll ring a bell with you right quick. Amen. And I want you to get a hold of this. I've met one that I've never seen him physically, but I want you to get this tonight. The sincerity, she loved him. I mean, she loved him. Look in chapter 6 and verse 3. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He feedeth among the lilies. Look in chapter 7, verse number 10. I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. And chapter 8, verse number 5. Who is that that cometh up from the wilderness leaning upon her beloved? And so she's calling beloved, I believe back in chapter 3, and verse number, well, where'd I see it? Anyway, she's said very many times, called him his beloved, and over and more times than what I read just now, but I want you to know she loved him. She fell in love. Hey, a lot of people today talk about love and don't even know what it is. And love is more than just a physical desire. Love is beyond that. And so God so loved, and that agape kind of love, that God kind of love, that love goes beyond everything that we know. But loved the unlovable. I'm glad he did, because I was unlovable. But he loved me and saved me anyway, and I say praise God for that. But then she fell in love with him. I'm glad, praise God, you can fall in love with Jesus. Amen. We ought to love Jesus, amen. And we ought to tell him that we love him and how much he means to us over and over again. And we told mothers today that we love them, we care for them, and so forth. If you have your mother, then thank God for that. And we do that. We tell each other about loving, but maybe not as much as we ought to. But I tell you right now, Jesus Christ, we all fall in love with him so much, amen, more than anybody else in the world. Now, y'all love your wife, y'all love your husband, y'all love your sons and daughters, y'all love your grandchildren, y'all love all those, and I do, but I tell you, I don't love anybody like I love Jesus, because nobody ever loved me like Jesus loved me, amen. He's the greatest love of my life, and I praise God for him. She even dreamed of him. Look in chapter 3 and verse number 1. By night on my bed I sought him, whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. She's dreaming. She's laying on her bed. She's dreaming about him. Saying, I trying to find him, but I couldn't find him. And what she's saying is she's dreaming about him. Hallelujah. Amen. She had him on her mind as so much that she's having dreams about him. She literally, sincerely loved him. I want to show you something else here. She listened for his voice. Look in chapter 2 and verse number 8. Chapter 2, verse number 8, and keep your place there. Come back to it in just a moment. The voice of my beloved. There's an exclamation mark. She didn't just say the voice of my beloved. She said the voice of my beloved. She was excited about it. Behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. And she's saying, that's my beloved's voice. And she's listening for his voice, and we all be listening for him, amen. Do you ever hear the voice of the Lord? God ever talked to you? You ever heard his voice? And I'm not talking about a literal thundering voice out of heaven that spoke like it did on Mount Sinai, but I'm talking about in a still small voice. You remember the time the prophet got there and he's come a earthquake and then come a fire and said God wasn't in it. And said, then there's a still small voice and said, that's him. That's him, hallelujah. There have been times in the night and times in the closets, times somewhere behind the hill somewhere praying, and a still small voice came by and spoke peace to my heart and said it'll be all right. I say hallelujah. I'm glad, praise God, I can listen for his voice. I'll tell you something else I'm listening for. I'm listening for a shout out of heaven saying, come up hither. And I'm going to leave this world and go yonder and be with him, thank God, and live forever in that place they sang about a while ago, talked about, and I'm glad, praise God. It's real tonight, as Brother Tim said, it's real. Praise God, it's real tonight. I'm glad for that, listening for his sound. She said, I want to hear his voice. Said, I'm dreaming about him and got him on my mind, and I want to hear his voice. If you ever fall in love, you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. When I was courting Juanita, we didn't have a telephone. Couldn't call her. I'd write her letters. And when I got a letter from her, and boy, I ripped that thing open. Amen. I want to see what she had to say. The day we got texting and all that stuff, and people just get in touch with each other real quick, but it wasn't that way. But I know as I tried to get in touch with God sometimes, it seemed like somehow I'm just not getting anywhere. But then I get to confessing up and to God what I am and what I failed in, where I am, what I need, and God comes by and says, peace, be still, it's all right. I'm still here, amen. I say praise God and the Lamb forever. She's listening for his voice. John 10:27, I mentioned this morning. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I can't get over that verse. Hey, something about that verse that really hits me. In this day when people say I know Jesus and live like a devil and go out in the world, all that kind of stuff, I don't understand that. The Bible says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. He didn't say they'd follow somebody else or do something else. He said they follow. I believe a saved person follows him. Amen. Now, they may stray a little bit like a sheep does sometime, but a shepherd will go get that sheep and bring it back in line. And he'll line up, even if he has to break his leg. He'll line up, and when it does, he'll stay close to the shepherd. Amen. You've heard the story many times about the lamb, the little one that just kept on straying. But finally, the shepherd broke its leg, put it in a splint, set it, and then had to carry it on his shoulders. And said after that, that little sheep stayed always close by the shepherd's side. I mean, when God gets through with you, you'll stay there. Amen. I'm talking about really being saved. I'm not talking about just saying I know him by my head. I'm talking about being born in the family of God and becoming a real sheep. Amen. And I praise God for that and thank him for listening for his voice. But something else, she longed to see him. Look in verse 9 of chapter 2. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. She said, I long to see him. I long to really see him and hold him. But said, I'm listening for his voice. I'm dreaming about him. And said, every once in a while, I'll see him looking through the lattice. And you know what that means, couldn't see real good, but said, I get a glimpse of him. You know what, every once in a while, we're getting a good service around here. I get a little glimpse of him. Hallelujah. Every once in a while I'm preaching, I get a little glimpse of him. Every once in a while when I'm reading the Word of God, I'll get a glimpse of him. Every once in a while when I'm a praying, I'll get a glimpse of him. And by the way, let me remind you this, he's altogether lovely. Amen. Even a glimpse is lovely. If you can just get a people that I think about the Queen of England, if they can just get a glimpse of her, people in England go wild. If they can just somehow get a glimpse of the Queen or the princes or whatever he was that got married, I don't know. But I tell you this, there's one better than that to get a glimpse of. Queen can't save you. King down here on this earth can't save you. President, he can't do anything for you really, amen. It's only God that can do anything to really help you. And I'd rather have a glimpse of him than a glimpse of anybody I know, amen. And she said, I'm looking for a glimpse of him. I want you to know tonight, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, there will be a day we'll not only see him through the lattice, but thank God we'll see him face to face. And we'll meet him in the air. It's real, as it's been said tonight and preached so wonderfully by Brother Tim, that Jesus will come. He promised to come back. He promised to get us. He's coming back to get us. And thank God he will get us. Amen. Now, I want you to get the picture. I'm trying to get somewhere tonight. That really stirred my heart when I got there and studying. But I'm thinking about this woman. And she worked hard and labored and had calloused hands and no makeup, nothing, just a poor woman out there, lady working. And this shepherd coming by, he pays attention to her and gets to talking with her. And they got under the apple tree and got to tasting some fruit, hallelujah. And they got together and he told her he had to go away, but said, I'll come back and get you. And there she was, and she's a longing for him, she's a looking for him, and she's a listening for him, and she's a dreaming about him and all that. But I tell you tonight, she loved him with all her heart. She loved him and longed for him. I bet you there was some of those people, other shepherds came by and said, why don't you forget him? He's not coming back. You ever hear anything like that today? Why don't you just quit preaching about the coming of Jesus? He's not coming back. He won't be back to get you. I want you to know, thank God, he will be back to get me. And that woman, I believe that she had something to say about this also, about Jesus coming back to get her. I want you to look with me, please, in chapter 2, verse 16. chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. My beloved, that's the verse I was looking for a while ago. My beloved is mine, and I'm his. He feedeth among the lilies. Until the day break and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bethel. He's saying here, until the day break, until that morning comes, until he gets back, my beloved's mine and I'm his. She's saying in my absence, I'm his and he's mine. Hallelujah. I praise God. Listen, and you young folk, listen to this. If you ever think you're in love with somebody and it won't last more than a few days when they're apart, you don't have love. Real love will keep you there. Amen. It'll help you. Amen. I just thought I'd plug that in. That'll help you somewhere down the road. I'm telling you tonight, she loved him and he loved her. And he had said, I'll come back. And I'm getting to the goody. Just hang on just a minute. But I'm telling you tonight about this one that she fell in love with. This one that she fellowshipped with. This one that said, I'm coming back. And he had gone away. And we remember the day that you fell in love with Jesus. He wooed you. He sought you out. He put his arms around you. He said, I love you. And you had been rebelling and running from him, getting away from him. But he wouldn't let you go and kept convicting, kept speaking to you. Now, he could have let you die and went to hell and been a just and a holy God. But he loved you so much that he kept on and kept on and kept on until you saw him and got a glimpse of him and heard that voice and got under conviction. And God brought you to a place of repentance and under that tree. That cross of Calvary, you got saved. But now he's gone away, but he said, I'm coming back. And I'm telling you tonight, this Shulamite was looking for a shepherd to come back. But that's not how he come back. I want you to know, I want you to look with me, please, in chapter 6 and verse 1. She not only listened for him, longed for him. She loved him. She did all that. But she longed to be with him. And she wanted to be with him. Now I want you to look at 6 verse 1. Whither is my beloved gone? O thou fairest among women, whither is thy beloved aside that we may seek him with thee? Where is he? Now I want you to turn back with me in chapter 3, verse number 6. I told you earlier today that this book is not in chronological order of events. Back in chapter 3, verse 6. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke? Perfume with mirth and frankincense, with all powers of the merchant. Behold his bed, which is Solomon's, 80 valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel. Scores 20, so that's 60 men. They all hold swords, being expert at war. Every man hath his sword upon his thigh because of fear in the night. King Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. He made the pillars thereof of silver, the bottom thereof of gold, the covering of it of purple, the midst thereof being paved with love for the daughters of Jerusalem. Go forth, O ye daughters of Zion. Behold, King Solomon with a crown, wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousals, in the day of the gladness of his heart. Here we see him coming back. He's not coming back as a shepherd, not coming back like one of the shepherd men, but coming back as king. And coming back in a chariot, he's not walking away. Hey, glory to God. I want you to get the picture. Here she is, and she's poor, and she's a longing, and she's a looking, and she's a desire, has such a desire in her heart to see him, that paid attention to her out there. And they got under that tree, and there fell in love, and there she had fruit and all that. But she longed to be with him. She wants to be with him all the time. But where is he? And all of a sudden, here comes and she's looking for a shepherd, but here comes a chariot. Hallelujah. And the chariot has a king in it. And I want you to get the picture. And I want you to see this tonight, because thank God, I want you to know the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is coming back to get us. I met him. He was a bleeding, dying Savior, resurrected from the dead. But thank God, he's coming back as King and Lord of Lords forever and forever. But look at that chariot he had. Don't you get a picture of that? That'll bless your heart if you've got a blesser left tonight. In that chariot he had, he made the pillars thereof of silver. Silver speaks of redemption. Hallelujah. He redeemed us by his own blood. That silver throughout the Bible speaks of redemption. I say to you tonight, thank God for redemption. Redemption means bought back. I mean paid for in full. He redeemed me by his own precious blood. Then notice something else about that chariot. It not only had silver pillars, but said that the bottom thereof was gold. And gold speaks of deity. And there's a chariot. Has redemption all over it. The pillars holding it up. Top up, and here it is, and the bottom of it's gold. Speaks of deity. And I'm glad, thank God, Jesus is God in flesh. And then notice the purple. That speaks of royalty. He's not coming back as a little shepherd boy out there. He's not coming back out there like he's coming back in royalty. He's coming back as king. Hey, people today make fun of us, and I said that this morning. I want to say it again. They make fun of us as Bible thumpers, and because we shout and praise God, have a good time getting the Lord, just get carried away, don't have a program, and they come in, they think we're crazy and kind of got off up here a little bit, and you know, they got religion gone too far with it and all that kind of stuff. They say all that things about us, but you wait till our King of Kings come back. They think Jesus is a fiery tale and just something somebody made up, and they don't know if he's really real or not, but they're messed up. But you let one of them get hurt real bad. You let one of them get sick, think they're going to die. First thing they do is say, Lord, help me. Amen. You let America have a tragedy, you know what the first thing they do? Well, let's all pray. I'd like to get up on television one time when we have a tragedy and say, before we pray, let's all repent. Let's all repent and get right with God. Then we can pray. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, thank God. They may have their ways. They may have their things. And they may think they're enjoying their life. But you wait till our King come back. Hallelujah. Wait till he shows himself mighty in power and glory. I say thank God. But notice something else about that verse. And says he paved it with love. Hallelujah. Redemption, deity, royalty paved with love. I say, praise God, I'm glad I'm a part of that bride. I don't you think she was excited when that chariot pulled up and there he was and she got, hallelujah, and she got in there with him. He's a king and she, her dressing may be dirty and filthy, but he just says, come on up in the chariot. We're going for a ride. Hallelujah. And we're going home. And he takes her back where he come from. When he gets her back there, hallelujah, she's a princess. She's a queen. Hallelujah, amen. You wait till we get to heaven. The angels stand aside. And they look and say, there she comes. There she comes. Every wedding ever do. And Bryn, I kind of look forward to your wedding. And on the other hand, I don't know. You say, preacher, why is that? I don't want to see her get married. Don't you want to see her get married? I want to hang on to her, amen. I want to keep her around here, but I know she grows up, they grow up, they get married. Thank you for staying there, amen. But, amen, but some of them leave off. She's marrying a preacher. That makes a difference. But every time I see a bride come through that door and see, I can't help but think about Jesus. That bridegroom standing up here beside me, and we're standing there, here. They open the door and they start playing, Here Comes the Bride. I can't help but think one day, hallelujah, we're going to hear a shout and a sound's going to be made. They're going to start shouting glory in an angelic band. And you remember Solomon had some men around his chariot with swords. The devil will do everything he can to try to keep us going through there. But I know there's going to be some angelic warriors over there, and they're going to be fighting our battle for us. And we're going through safe, amen, and meet the bridegroom over on the other side. Hallelujah, get in his chariot. And we're going to ride off in the glory, hallelujah, and praise God forever. We're going home one day. Children, what I'm trying to tell you is, we're not home yet. We're just passing through. But one day Jesus will come, and we will go home, and we will be with him, and we will shout glory, hallelujah, and thank God we'll never grow old. And we won't have any aches and pains, and won't have no sorrows, no disappointment. It's all going to be glory. Over on the other side. Over on the other side. I can't help but think about Mephibosheth down there in the land of Lodabar. He's down there in a bad place. But one day a chariot pulled up. Said, I come to get you. He was crippled. Had to help him get out there. But he thought, surely, probably the king's going to kill me when he gets me there. But the king said, I want you to sit down at my table. We're going to have a feast. I'm going to show you something else, and I'm closing. I want you to look in chapter 2, book of Song of Solomon. Chapter 2 and verse number, let me find out what verse it is. Verse 4. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. He brought me to his banqueting house. There's going to be a day, hallelujah, when we're going to get in that chariot and go home, like Elijah did one day. And then we're going to the banqueting house. Young people are going to have a spring banquet here soon. And they're going to decorate, I'm sure, and get ready for that. And young people are going to sing, and they're going to have a good time. They're going to eat and fellowship. But they've never been to a banquet like we're going to. You've never been to a banquet like we're going to. Said the banner over me was love. Banqueting house. He took me to the banqueting house. Table set. I have a picture hanging back in my office, and it shows a table. You keeps going and going and going and going. Chairs and all kind of fancy silverware and stuff on it. It's trying to picture what it's going to be like in heaven. I don't know exactly how it's going to be like in heaven, but I know it's going to be a banquet, and a banquet like we've never been to. And guess what? He's going to serve. He's going to be there with us. The mighty Lord, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We'll get to see him, fellowship with him. Isn't it good when you get together down here in fellowship? But wait till we get to heaven. Fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder tonight, if you're here lost without God, if you give it thought about Jesus. This bridegroom came back. They said, why don't you forget about him? But she said, no. I'm going to wait till the day breaks. He's coming back. My Savior's coming. One day a shout will be made, a trump will sound, and we'll be dead in Christ to rise first, and we'll be changed. Go up and meet the Lord in there and meet our loved ones in the cloud and in the Lord in there, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. You tonight that are here, are you saved? Do you really know you're saved? If you had to die right now, or Jesus came right now, do you know you go to heaven? Well, raise your hand up high if you know you go to heaven. Hallelujah. Let's just give God glory tonight. Thank you so much. Thank you. Now, if you don't know that you go to heaven, and you don't know that it's right with you, tonight God's speaking to your heart, God dealing with your life. Thank God you're here tonight. Won't you come to Jesus? Let God save you. Then some are here tonight saved, but your life's not where it needs to be with God, and you need to come. Won't you just let God help you and do what God said? While we get ready for the invitational song, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I want you to think about the question I asked, are you ready? Are you really ready? And then if you are saved, how's your life? You really looking for him, expecting him? Do you really love him, long for him, listen for him, long to see him? How is it with you? Is Jesus really, are you really in love with him so much that he becomes first place in your life and everything? Father, I pray you'd help us tonight. This invitation, may the Holy Spirit speak to our hearts and deal with our lives. And help us never be ashamed to come to an old-fashioned altar and do business with God. We'll give you glory and thanks for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, please. Standing while we sing. You come, let God do for you what he wants to do.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come.
Won't you come?
No more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand, leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there, and forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be, when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be, when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand, leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there, and forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be, when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be.
I want you to bow your heads, close your eyes over the house, all over the house. I want you to think seriously about your life, your individual life. Every one of us have to answer individually. We don't answer for somebody else, just for ourselves. I wonder tonight if there are those here that would say, "Preacher, I did not come to the altar, but I know God's speaking to my heart. No, I'm not where I need to be with God. Maybe that you're saved, just not where you need to be. Maybe that you're not saved and you realize it, but you'd like to slip your hand." Tonight, I long to see people just come to an altar and do business with God. I mean do business with God. You'd like to slip your hand up and say, "Pray for me, preacher." Anybody here like that? Anybody, anywhere, over the house? God bless your heart. Anybody else, quickly? Anybody else, just slip your hand up, take it right back down. We'll know what you mean. God bless your heart. Anybody else, quickly? God knows our hearts. Father, I pray tonight that you speak to every heart, you speak to every life. You have your way, you magnify yourself, you get glory. I pray, God, for those who have come, your will be done in their life. And then, Father, I pray for those who lifted their hands and pray for me. Lord, you know who they are, where they are, and what they need. My hearts cry unto you. May the Holy Spirit continue doing the work. Thank you and praise you in all that you do. In Jesus' name.
Yielded and still.
don't always know what God's doing, how he's doing it, but I know God working. You say, preacher, you don't usually prolong the invitation too long. I try to be sensitive to God. Can't make people obey. But at the same time, I know when the Holy Spirit's speaking and dealing in hearts, a lot of times your devil will fight that. You'll be standing there saying, I'll put that off a little bit, procrastinate a little. Been a lot of people went to hell, been a lot of people missed some blessings of God because they procrastinated, didn't do what God said. God's speaking to your heart, God dealing for your life. I want you to come. I'm going to give you an opportunity right now as we sing this verse. This may be the last verse. I don't know. If God gets in it, we'll sing some more. Most important thing we do is present Jesus to people and try to get them to God. Try to get them saved. Get them right with God. We can get in service and say, I'm just not going to deal with that. I'm just not going to let God do that in my life. What we do, we quench his spirit. God don't do what he wants to do. Sing one more verse, brother, right now anyway.
Have thine own way. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow.
Brother Johnson, did you want to say something? You're just praising God back there. A little bit of both. Amen. Go ahead.
As I think of this person of whom I shall write, the whole of my being seems to stutter in mind. For each time I sought to pen this glad tidings, the adequate words from my heart kept on hiding. For how can one say in this language of men the feelings of love of their dearest friend? A friend who for them many heartaches have taken and never for a moment did leave them forsaken. Now how does one say with words clear and plain? I can't hold it still. And how can one say with words clear and plain, thanks to the one who for them bore much pain and words of thanksgiving for giving them birth and proving to be their dearest friend on earth? And how can one express in words that will catch the love of this one for whom there's no match? This one who for nights would go without sleep because of what this child of what she must keep. I search out my mind for words that will render some beautiful picture of this woman so tender, who for her children gladly paid all the costs and bore them herself and counted nothing lost. And how can one state all the bands imparted that influence our lives long after departed? These are anchors that hold our lives in place and life's greatest reward, a smile from her face. It would surely take an angel from with a golden pen, and surely this pen would search now and then for words to a sign that would honestly show the worth of this woman who now lives here below. If her love you had known, you would not now wonder for words to describe her son has to ponder. For this grand lady, like which there is no other, is one I have the privilege of calling my mother.
Thanks, amen. Sir. Amen. I want everyone to be seated for a moment, please. I know we recognized all mothers this morning, but we're going to do it again tonight. Mothers, would you please stand? Every mother. Tonight I challenge you to be like that Shulamite woman. Keep looking, longing for the Lord Jesus Christ and put him first in your life. Love him with all your heart. Thank God for mothers that love God. Let's give them a hand, men. Thank you. You may be seated. Then you may all stand. I forgot what I was doing. Think about preaching again. Amen. Glory to God. It's been good to be in the house of God today. Had a good time. God's blessed us and helped us. But I want you to know tonight, God loves you. If you're ever not saved, our sincere desire prior to God is you be saved. Take time in fellowship. Don't forget the service Wednesday night. Good night and God bless you.